The Schlereth and Evans podcast is sponsored by Xfinity. Xfinity is the best way to stream your favorite live sports on the next generation Xfinity 10G network.
Denver Sports Station 104.3 The Fan presents Schlereth and Evans.
All right, here we go. Morning, everybody. Happy Thursday. 6 a.m. listeners. Maybe a little... A little bleary-eyed this morning, a little punchy after that fun, exciting, but wrapping up late Nuggets win last night. I was out there at the game hanging out with some of the guys, Josh Dover, Zach Bai, Philip Lindsay, along with the great guys and folks from Rocky Mountain Men's Clinic.
And how was it?
It was awesome. Thank you for asking. Great crowd. Great crowd. It was fan appreciation night. Everybody knew what was at stake. Going out, beating the Timberwolves, putting yourself in the position to grab the top seed in the West. Took care of business in the fourth quarter like we expect them to. And good night. Great night all around.
I loved it. I love watching Jokic actually get a little pissy.
Rudy Gobert will do that to you.
Right. But I loved actually seeing it. Like he's really defensive player of the year. Really, that's how you okay. And just started taking it to him and just beating him up. And that was fun. I enjoyed the heck out of it. And the fourth quarter was just unbelievable. Christian Brown just throwing, the alley-oop, the left-hand slam over Gobert. Man, that was fun.
Peyton Watson had a big dunk after a great pass from Jamal Murray.
Yeah. After a great block by Peyton. Peyton Watson came into the first quarter, had like three blocks in the first quarter. If that guy could work on some offense, if that guy
he's got balls, man.
Yeah, he does. But boy, he's got defensive skills. There's no question about that. I loved it.
And here you go, the game to clinch the best record in the West, and who's out there on the floor closing it out but Peyton Watson and Christian Brown.
Yeah, I mean, that's the, like you said, the trust, is a big part of it, obviously. He left us out through ups and downs throughout the game. He could have subbed us out for, the guys that normally finish the game. But he trusted me and P, trusted our defense, trusted to get it done. Those plays don't happen. If we come out earlier, we check out, our usual time. So, him trusting us, coach trusting us in that moment in a big game like that is very meaningful.
So... Now you just got to go out and take care of business. You don't own the tiebreaker against Minnesota. So you got the lead right now, but you got to hold on to it.
Mm-hmm.
And so that means you got to finish up with two wins to close out the season, which they should do. You're playing against the Spurs tomorrow night in San Antonio against the Windsock. And then you finish up the season Sunday afternoon against the Grizzlies. So two terrible teams that you should beat, do so, and Nuggets will be the number one seed again, just like last year, throughout the West.
Should happen, right?
Should happen.
And even if you got to play mostly your backups and stuff, it should happen.
Well, I don't think you have to, because the NBA is very team friendly, especially in the first round. Well, before you get to, if you can avoid the play-in tournament, then you get the whole week off while that silly play-in tournament's being decided.
Mm-hmm.
So you get the whole week off. And then once you get into the first round, especially, the games are all spread out. They really tend to be spread out. So there's really no fear of fatigue or anything. Although the Jamal Murray thing still bears watching, because by the sound of it, Jamal had to beg and plead to Michael Malone to get to play last night.
Okay.
On a back-to-back.
Yeah, on a back-to-back. Well, I mean, Michael Malone's trying to, but you're right. I mean, you're going to have some time off afterwards. They should be. They looked good.
They look good.
They did.
They look
Gordon right. looked good. Man, there was a sequence between... was it Jamal throwing it to Jokic, throwing it back to Jamal, dishing it over to Aaron Gordon? They're just dialed in. When they're in, they're like, when they got all five of those dudes, especially the big three, they're good.
And
they're really fun to watch.
The idea of how you play playing that way, how contagious it is. Aaron Gordon, 9 assists, season high, 9 assists last night.
Mm-hmm.
Jokic, 41 points, 11 rebounds, 7 assists, 3 steals. Ho-hum. But, yeah, you got a lot of energy off the bench. And we talked about that the other day. You know, what do you have to get? What is the blueprint for this bench in the playoffs? And, honestly, it's not – they don't have to score a lot. You know, it doesn't have to be one of those games where you look up at the end of the night and you say, oh, wow, the bench outscored the other team's bench, you know, 32-17 or something like that. It's just getting that energy. It's playing defense, getting out, running, getting dunks. You know, you don't want to be running a half-court set offense that's revolving around Christian Brown and Peyton Watson with the idea that they're going to be shooting threes. But yeah,
look how they opened up the second quarter. I mean, they opened up the second quarter. There was like 4 points scored in the first 7 minutes of the first or second quarter. There was not much going on, but there was great defense. And if you can just play even or close to even. Like, and you just come with great defensive energy. You get defensive stops, even if the ball isn't going down on the offensive side. But you're playing close like they were in the second quarter. I mean, there's valuable minutes, valuable rest minutes for both Jokic and Murray and even Gordon. And, of course, you're not going to get that in the playoffs. You're not going to get three or four backup guys out there at the same time. You know, you're going to give Jokic a blow. Then he's going to come in. You'll give Gordon a blow. Or you'll give, you know, you'll give, but there will be, of the big three, there'll be two on the court at once while somebody else is getting some rest. So I don't know, I feel like they're in great shape. I think Christian Brown has been, the last couple of games has been awesome. Probably the last couple of weeks.
Last few weeks, yeah. Yeah.
Really good.
He admittedly was in a bit of a midseason slump.
Mm-hmm.
But he has certainly come out of it. He's probably their best bench player. But you saw last night, you probably got a really good, in a game that was basically a playoff game, you saw how Michael Malone used his bench and three guys, Peyton Watson, 23 minutes, Christian Brown, 27, Reggie Jackson, 20. Yeah. And those are going to be your primary guys. That's your eight-man rotation right there. Maybe sprinkle in a little bit of DeAndre Jordan if you need to. Or Zeke Nagy, if you need to, a little bit. But both that's your playoff team. This is your team. This is your team for the playoffs. And so the Nuggets on pace, looking good to get the number one seed. How important is it to you as a Nugget fan that they have the number one seed? Other observations for the game, hit us up, 303-713-1043 on the Ramoslaw.com text line. Coming up next, did Nathan MacKinnon and Nikola Jokic clinch MVPs on respective nights? And, man, further proof coming from all different areas of the basketball world of why people root against Nikola Jokic. That's next.
With an advanced network, cybersecurity solutions, and trusted partnership, Comcast Business powers more businesses than anyone. Comcast Business, powering possibilities.
Get started with internet and security for your small business for $49.99 a month for 12 months with a 2-year contract. Plus, ask how to get up to an $800 prepaid card with qualifying internet. Call today. Ends 5/5/24. Restrictions apply. New customers only with 50 megabits per second internet and security edge. Eco bill and auto pay required. Equipment, taxes, and fees extra.
Denver Sports Station, 104.3 The Fan presents Schlereth and Evans.
It's certainly been trending this way for some time, especially in the case of Nikola Jokic, that he was going to win the MVP. Nathan MacKinnon, not as clear, but still has been the pretty solid.
Now yesterday you said it's done.
Oh, no.
It's
no,
over.
Well, I'm talking about these last couple weeks, couple months. It's been a
little.
No, that's what the point I was going to get to.
Oh, okay.
Thank you.
I thought you were just. I'm not backtracking.
I'm
not one to call you out,
no.
But I just want to make sure that we're on the. Because what I heard there was, I'm not sure what I.
No, okay. Settle down just a little bit. All I'm saying is that whereas Jokic has been a clear-cut favorite for the MVP for a long time now, in the NHL, it's been more muddy.
Yeah. Okay. I'll give you that.
But I believe that Nathan MacKinnon the other night clinched the MVP with that hat trick performance.
Right.
And I believe Nikola Jokic clinched the MVP last night with his performance. It was being touted as a playoff style game. It was on national television.
Mm-hmm.
Just like the Avs game was a couple nights ago.
Even ESPN this morning was, they were forced to do a whole Nuggets package. They're like,
well, they threw some Anthony Edwards highlights in there.
Oh, I know they did.
Nothing from the fourth quarter because Anthony Edwards was held scoreless in the fourth quarter.
Okay, so the first three quarters of highlights. But, they're forced to do it. Now it's playing for them. Now they're going to have to play catch-up. You know, because eventually all these other teams just kind of fall by the wayside. Now they're like, okay, we're forced to talk about the Nuggets. Let's go. Which was great. It was fun to see.
41-40 piece for Nikola Jokic, and Michael Malone certainly feels he's coaching the MVP.
I mean, I think it's been an MVP season. I mean, this game obviously was garnering so much attention and hype. Understandably so. You have two teams tied for first. The number one seed is on the line. Division rival, they've beaten us twice, and for Nikola to go out there and put up a 40 piece on, the efficiency is just insane. Hopefully the national audience will recognize greatness.
They will, most do, but boy, you still have the holdouts, and they come from all corners of the NBA universe. How about this one? So during the other game last night, the Dallas game, they were doing their NBA Unplugged, kind of like a Manning Cast type thing.
Uh-huh.
And they had Kevin Hart and Cedric the Entertainer chopping it up.
Okay.
And the subject of Jokic as the MVP came up.
They cannot give Joker any more MVPs.
The NBA cannot give
Joker any more MVPs. It's not good for the NBA.
Yeah.
Joker cannot win another MVP.
Can he win another Finals MVP?
Well, that's different. That's playing the game. But the league MVP, I feel like you're right. Like they can't really do that at this moment. And he's having a great year, but it doesn't feel like that dominant year the way I would say SGA is. You made a very great. Man, you know what? I just sided with you, Kevin. You just did it. You just sold me.
Show of hands?
Thank you, man.
Anybody else with Kevin? Show of hands?
That's ignorant.
They're making the case for Shea Gilgeous-Alexander, who last week when Oklahoma fell out of contention for the number one seed, they had back-to-back road games, marquee games at Philadelphia and at Boston.
Mm-hmm.
SGA set out both of them. So...
Yeah. Yeah.
He's disqualified, but there's a flat out obstinate refusal to give Jokic his credit. Kevin Hart. Hey man, stick to making Jumanji movies, will you?
But why?
Why?
I mean that's the question. Okay, so if they had somebody in there, say, okay, so why can he not?
Why? Well, I'll give you the reasons. One is because he just isn't dynamic enough.
Okay.
That in order to appreciate Nikola Jokic, you have to look at the high IQ and the nuanced nature of his game and the fact that he doesn't play above the rim. And you've got to be somebody that is really captivated by no-look passes and beautiful little fades. And three-pointers from up top, all that kind of stuff. And for a lot of people, he's just not exciting enough. So you got that.
Mm.
You got the European factor.
Mm-hmm.
And let's face it, he's a white guy.
Yeah.
And, you know, for some in an NBA that is predominantly African-American, they struggle with that. They just do. So pick one, but... Those are the three biggest reasons.
How much of the issues that you just talked about do you put on the way the Nuggets and the way the Joker has been covered by the national media outlets? Because as you've pointed out forever, this model is a San Antonio model. And they don't want, in the NBA, forever this has been a flyover city, they don't want the Nuggets to have a run like this. And, I mean, you so and I sit in here.
So if Jokic was doing this for Philly, for the Knicks, for the Celtics, it would be a completely different conversation?
The Celtics would be covered differently. The Knicks would be covered differently. Philadelphia would be covered differently. I mean, we've sat in this studio where the Nuggets have been fighting for that number one seed for, you know, since the All-Star break. Today was the first day that we had an extended highlight package on the Nuggets. The first day on ESPN where we had an extended highlight package on the Nuggets. Would they just sneak up on first place? All of a sudden they're just doing this? So how much of the individual narrative is controlled by what the national media puts on television? National media tells you by the way they cover it that the Nuggets are boring. You might as well not tune in.
Mm-hmm.
And then all of a sudden now they're going to scramble. But the Nuggets have got a bunch of national attention last year. But they're going to scramble and start pumping up a little bit more because they know they have to. Because they look at the West and they're saying, hey, as good as the West is, and it's probably the best it's been in years, as good as it is, who's going to be the Nuggets? And they've come to the realization that they are that team. So, yeah, but I'm with you. You know, it's the Euro thing. It's the white thing. It's the play below the rim thing. It's a combination of all those things.
Yes. Yes. Absolutely. Coming up next, we got the Morning Brew, Michael Malone, on what this win means moving forward. Got some Avalanche news. Could the Avs be on the move? And Rocky fans, maybe, just maybe, are starting to get it? That's next.
It's time for your Morning Brew. Grab a cup of Joe and get caught up on everything you need to know. Here's Schlereth and Evans.
It was being hyped as a playoff-style game with the top seed in the West, home court throughout the playoffs on the line, and Michael Malone's Nuggets responded with a 116-107 win over the Minnesota Timberwolves.
The number one seed is there for the taking, and that's what you have to do. You have to go out there and take it against a very good team, and now the challenge is we're on a high right now because it's a very good performance, a really important win, making sure that we bring the necessary focus going down to San Antonio.
Nikola Jokic, 41 points in what should be the crowning achievement on a third MVP for Nikola Jokic. Plenty of other contributions. The bench was terrific. Christian Brown was able to go out and provide some highlight dunks down the stretch, including one where he went right hand to left hand and dunked in Rudy Gobert's grill.
I actually like to dunk. Everybody on the team knows I like to dunk my left hand. Most of the time. So I don't usually try in the fourth quarter of a big game like that. But like I said, you know, I didn't want to go over the layup against the best defensive player in the league. So you got to attack him strong. And I didn't really plan it. It just happened like that, and it worked out. So that's good.
So here we go. Nuggets have the top seed. Now they just got to make sure they hold on to it because Minnesota does own the tiebreaker over the Nuggets. So the Nuggets have to stay a game clear of Minnesota. They can do that, control their destiny with two wins in their final two games at San Antonio tomorrow, at Memphis on Sunday.
Very doable situation. Very doable toward the end here. Plenty of rest coming up. I like the position they put themselves in, Michael. It'll be interesting to see how much they play or if they play Jamal against San Antonio. That interests me to see just kind of where they are with him. I know they didn't want to play him back-to-back nights.
Right.
But now he's got, how many days does he have? When do they play San Antonio?
Tomorrow.
That'll be interesting.
Maybe sit him out tomorrow.
I wouldn't be surprised to see them sit him out tomorrow and then play him.
See, I'd flip it. because San Antonio's actually been playing teams tough down the stretch here.
And plus, they have the wind sock.
And he is
tall.
Well, yes. But he's not your typical rookie that hits the rookie wall. He pushed right through it and is playing his best basketball coming down the stretch.
How advanced, Joseph, describe him?
He is very, very tall. Very tall.
Yeah, you say, what's Wimbenyama like? When you Wimbenyama like, he go, hey, you know what?
You know what?
Flacco's tall.
No, yeah, he's tall. Yeah,
he's tall.
He's tall.
As a teen, little tubby kid. Little tubby kid.
No, he's not tubby. He's 7'4" and lean.
As a team, we're getting
That's
tall.
Extreme.
Yeah. Love it. Absolutely love it.
But I would play Murray tomorrow.
And then see where you're at
in the standings then.
Because Memphis. Didn't Memphis start five rookies against them about three weeks ago?
Memphis is definitely 1-2-3 Cancun. Spurs are actually showing a little bite down the stretch here. So I'd go with the full group on tomorrow.
Okay.
With the idea that you probably wouldn't need Jamal on Sunday. Then you'd be giving him really a full week off.
You know, it's a great song.
Before the playoffs start. What's that?
Walking on Memphis. I think it's Mark Cohen. Walking with my feet.
I don't think that's right.
Walking in Memphis.
Yeah, with my feet, 10 feet off of Beal?
Beal, yeah, that's Mark Cohen, right?
Mark Cohen, I don't think so. That doesn't seem right.
I was walking in Memphis.
Rogue's looking it up for us.
You don't think I'm right? I'm right about
Cohen.
Everything.
Cohen.
Yeah, that's
Mark
what I
Cohen.
Said.
You said Cohen.
Cohen.
You said Cohen.
I did not.
Like the Cohen brothers.
No, I said Mark Cohen.
No, you're right. You got it right. All I'll right. give it to you.
Okay.
I'll give it to you.
Okay.
Begrudgingly.
All right. Good.
You got it. You got
it's
it.
A great tune.
You got it.
Memphis.
Next on the Morning Brew, Adrian Dater, our Avalanche buddy.
Yeah.
Had this little interesting tidbit. So we know that the Phoenix Coyotes are going to be moving to Salt Lake.
Salt Lake City.
So there could be a domino here. AD saying that, hearing that if the Coyotes move to Salt Lake, the Avs might make a move to the Pacific Division with the new Salt Lake City team, with Edmonton and Calgary moving to the Central Division. A rumor at this point.
Well, you just get to pick the division here? No,
the NHL does it for you, but...
Well, you just said they may decide to move. NHL will decide to move them.
Right.
Would you like to be in the Pacific? But then you got to play the Kraken.
It's a great question. It's kind of like going from the Big 12 to the Pac-12.
It was realignment. Remember when they realigned? Remember when Seattle was in the AFC West?
Yeah.
All those years when we played them?
Sure.
And then they realigned, and next thing you knew, they were in the NFC
So would I rather the Avs be West. In a division with Dallas, Minnesota, Nashville, Winnipeg, or would I rather they be in a division with Vegas, LA, Seattle? Well, I think I'd like that better. Anaheim.
I think there's more natural rivalries there with Vegas.
Yes.
With LA.
Yes. Yes. Sign me up.
Yeah.
Sign me up.
Utah.
I like it. Sign me up. Next on the Morning Brew, good luck today to the Pios. Denver taking on Boston University in the first of two Frozen Four semifinals. And again, you'll be able to hear it on 104.3 HD as they play BU. The Pioneers beat Boston University way back. The last time in 2017. So it's been a while since these two teams have played. Two powerhouse programs. We told you that with this Frozen Four of Boston University, Boston College, Michigan, and Denver, there's a combined 28 national championships between this Frozen Four Blue Blood. BU and DU coming up first. BU is the favorite in this one, but I like the Pios. Like the Pios in an underdog role.
BU, more like PU.
Yeah, PU.
As far as I'm concerned.
Yeah, that's right.
Let's go Pios.
Let's go Pios. Next on the Morning Brew. So the Rockies playing and losing yesterday to Arizona in front of the smallest crowd in 10 years.
I saw it. I watched the game yesterday, and it was sparse, to say the least.
And the night before was sparse. Now, typically, the Rockies' smallest crowds are this time of year. The weather's not that great. The kids are still in school, la-di-da-di-da. But, you know, in the past, they'd have these really small crowds, you know, 22, 23, 24. But, you know, now you're down into the 18s. Maybe, just maybe, Mark, Rocky fans are finally getting it. They're starting to send their message.
What were they yesterday? How many, do you know how many fans they had
yesterday?
Yeah,
it was about 18.
Which means it was about, what, 10?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, whatever the announced crowd is, usually subtract about 6 or 7.
Yeah. Well, we'll see. We'll see if it... I don't think it's cause for concern.
If you're Dick Monfort?
No, because, like you said, school gets out, the weather gets nice, people love to go to the ballpark.
But you can do an apples-to-apples comparison, this crowd or these last couple crowds versus other early season April crowds. And these are the lowest. They've been in 10 years.
Right. And they're,
does that
these,
blow your mind?
These are probably the least expectations that you've ever had going into a Rocky season in the last 10 years, too.
As Andrew Mason points out at DenverSports.com, two of the three smallest crowds in the last 10 years of Rockies baseball have come in the past 3 days. Okay.
So Andrew Mason writing a hit piece on the Rockies.
He's just doling out hit pieces. That'll do it for the Morning Brew. Bring that to you each and every morning at 6:30. Lot to react to. Hit us up on the Rummelslaw.com text line, 303-713-1043. Up next, we hear from our pal Joel Klatt, who gives quite an endorsement as to who should be the Broncos' next quarterback. You'll hear it next.
It's Schlereth and Evans on Denver Sports Station, 104.3 The Fan.
2 weeks from today, round one of the NFL draft. God, it can't get here soon enough.
Right? Yeah, I mean, it just has been, feels like this, well, the last 2 weeks has been dragging.
Yes. Yes, it gets, you get the momentary sparks when like a Merrill Hodge comes out, who we had on the show yesterday, and says, I wouldn't draft Drake May. Drake May is going to get some general manager fired. Okay, right. Good. Thank you.
Yeah.
Thank you, Haji. We needed that.
Yeah,
Mel Kiper comes out with his mock draft yesterday, his fourth mock draft. Todd. And he has the Broncos taking a cornerback from Toledo.
Yes.
Which, thank you, Mel, for that one, just for putting that thought into Bronco country's heads and watching their heads explode.
So we're going to do the draft. As a station, we'll do the draft. I'll be out. Everybody will be out to where, I don't know where we're doing it yet because I don't pay attention. But I'm sure we already know where we're doing the draft. Well, regardless, doesn't
It'll
matter.
It'll be big.
It's going to be huge. But I think that we should have paramedics on hand in case the Broncos do take a corner for James Marilat, because he will need to be resuscitated. And I'm not going mouth to mouth on that guy. Just going to let you know right now.
You'll do the do the chest compressions, but
I'll do the chest pump thing. But I'll stand on one foot and have my shoe on his chest because I'm
That's
not going
to. Honestly above my pay grade.
Yeah, I'm not going to get all kneeled down. My knees don't bend.
That's true.
But I'll do that, but there better be paramedics there.
That'd be funny.
Oh, my gosh.
That would be.
I just want
that
him,
would be
I
funny.
Want him to be there when they make their pick and they don't take a quarterback at 12.
Well, it sure looks like if they are going to take a quarterback, barring a move up, which I still think is going to be difficult to do, because if Minnesota is truly serious about moving up, I just don't think the Broncos have the ammunition to be able to.
I think it would be stupid to throw away the next two draft picks, the next two number ones. I've seen a bunch of speculation they're going to move up, and they're going to give away the 2025 draft, the 2026 draft, first rounder, and they're going to swap this year for, you know, whatever. I think that would be a colossal waste of assets on a team that you're rebuilding. But go ahead.
So it looks like if it's going to be a quarterback in the first round at 12, it'll likely be Bo Nix. Well, our very own Joel Klatt who we have on every week during the season, and we'll do so again next season. We'll get him on prior to the draft as well. But he went on a podcast yesterday and made his case for Bo Nix.
Here's what I love about Bo Nix. His feet, his schematic acumen, his intelligence. He's off the charts as far as a leader goes. He's accurate. The ball goes to the right spot on time all the time. They were so good and so hard to stop. And it was because of Bo Nix. If he goes to the right organization, and this is why I think Denver fits him like a glove. Sean Payton fits him like a glove. I was in Sean Payton's offense. I know Bo Nix. I know how Bo Nix was taught. This guy is NFL ready, all right? And I love his game, and I think Denver should draft him. He's my 26th player overall.
Quite the endorsement.
Yeah. And all those things, I think all those things are true. Footwork-wise, how, you know, the accuracy. Anytime a guy is really accurate, I know usually beyond the shadow of a doubt, his feet are tied together with his mechanics. And his feet are tied together with routes and route combinations. Because to be accurate, you have to be on time. To be on time, your body has to be set and ready to trigger. To be set and ready to trigger, your feet have to be underneath you in the proper alignment. And then every route combination is tied to the footwork that goes with that particular route combination. So all those things are true. The leadership thing is like, I think most of these guys, probably for college guys, are great leaders in college. When you get to the next level, it doesn't always translate. You don't always feel comfortable. You know, when you're standing in the huddle with 30-year-olds that have played forever, that are looking at you, and you know, and it's trickling down your leg a little bit, it's hard to be that guy. And so we shall see if Bo Nix becomes all of that. But listen, I wouldn't be angry about Bo Nix at 12. I wouldn't. The only issue, though, is you heard Joel at the end. He's on my 26th rated player. The only issue is if you're really the only team that's looking at him there, can you trade back and still get Bo Nix and accumulate something else? Do you want to play that game?
That's the dream scenario, right?
Right.
That's the dream scenario. But can you imagine Sean Payton sitting in his office, closing his eyes, and seeing in Bo Nix a lot of young Drew Brees?
Okay, yeah. Yeah, well, can I see that?
Yes.
Yeah, oh, sure.
Well, then that's the guy.
Well, I don't think it's that easy.
Why not?
Well, I mean,
Nothing would indicate, in everything that we've heard over these last few weeks, nothing would indicate that teams are clamoring for Bo Nix in the first, you know, five or six picks. That if anybody's going to be moving up, it's with the idea of getting Caleb Williams, Drake May, Jaden Daniels, or J.J. McCarthy. You haven't heard one time have I heard that somebody's looking to move up for Bo Nix. That Bo Nix is going to be one of those guys that's going to be either ticketed to Denver or will be a late first round or second round pick.
So if he's a late first rounder or second rounder, should you take him at 12? I mean, isn't that the problem? Isn't that why the Arizona Cardinals, isn't that why, you know, the Jets, isn't that why the bad teams are always drafting in the top five, six, or seven?
Because you overdraft?
Because you chase guys that you shouldn't chase. Because you overdraft guys. Because you overvalue guys. Because, you know, for whatever reason, and usually it's because you want to appease a fan base.
Well, that's why we can all have our opinions, but all that matters is what does Sean Payton think? Because if Sean really, really, really likes Bo Nix, then picking Bo Nix at 12 is absolutely where he should be drafted. And you shouldn't mess around trying to think, oh, hey, I'll count, or I think he might be available in the second round, and I'll wait and see, and you know, maybe we'll make a trade or so to move up and get him high up in the second. No, you don't. That's one thing that does bug, well, a lot of things bug me about the draft, but the idea is that, well, you know, everybody felt that he was somebody that would go in the second round. No way do you take him in the first. Well, if the team likes him, really loves him, right, and their evaluation of him is as a first-round pick to take him in that spot, take him. You know, don't get caught up in this groupthink that, well, I can't take him here because Mel Kiper and Todd McShay and Cecil Lammy say that he should be taken there.
No, I get that. I get that aspect.
So what?
But when you're building a football team and you're not and you haven't been competitive in 8 years, should you, if let's say you like Bo Nix and Michael Penix and there's your grade, your evaluation, you like them both about equally, should you take Bo Nix at 12 and forego maybe what you think is a legitimate kind of generational type player?
Well, and not to dodge your question, but it all depends on what Sean thinks. If Sean really loves Bo Nix, he's got to take him.
Right.
If he really, if it is like I
can't live without him,
yeah,
then you have to take
sure.
him. But if it's, well, maybe he could develop it.
Right.
Like, you can't put him in a Drew Brees mask or, you know, paint a mole on his cheek.
If that's the case.
You got to go, you know, and say, oh, man, Drew Brees, ooh.
Ooh. Getting Josh Dover, Ryan McMahon vibes right now.
You give him shoes that are 13 and he's flopping around out there because he wears a 12. And you're like, no, you got to wear these shoes. These were Drew's shoes.
Then if that's the case, no.
Why can't I be happy?
You take the cornerback from Toledo and have everybody lose their minds.
I almost want him just to do that, to watch everybody lose their minds.
I have to admit there is part of me that wants to see that as well.
Yeah.
That would be kind of funny.
It would be hilarious.
Grab your popcorn. Far Down Territory, coming your way next.
With an advanced network, cybersecurity solutions, and trusted partnership, Comcast Business powers more businesses than anyone. Comcast Business, powering possibilities.
Get started with internet and security for your small business for $49.99 a month for 12 months with a 2-year contract. Plus, ask how to get up to an $800 prepaid card with qualifying internet. Call today. Ends 5/5/24. Restrictions apply. New customers only with 50 megabits per second internet and security edge. Eco bill and auto pay required. Equipment, taxes, and fees extra.